It's the news according to me. Well, good morning. It is Monday morning, July 11th, 2022. It's about 7:50 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we are, I have to take a sip before I get into this. My voice is a little funny this morning. I don't know what's going on. It seems that it's not, I don't know. Well, I've got, got the music still playing. That's probably what part of the problem is. Good morning. I've got kind of a unique situation this morning. I was supposed to be traveling right now. I was supposed to be in, I think today I was supposed to be in Atlanta, actually. And that's not happening. As far as I know, I've got 5 days off here with, my agenda is totally, totally changed. Not because of things I had to stay here for, but because of things I did, they canceled everything on the other end. Someone who, as far as I know, is totally vaxxed, boosted, and boosted again, got COVID. And so that, of course, because that's, but you still have to get the shot, because Democrats. In fact, now they're saying this, the Omicron BA5 variant. Even the four and the five both, but the five is it's the most dangerous one yet. Now here, they don't say why it's dangerous. I guess I'm jumping right into this, aren't I? I wasn't even going to talk about COVID at all this morning, but I guess because I'm talking about being home. I'm actually at my home studio. I'm down in my basement this morning. Not my mother's basement. It's my basement. I didn't build this. So we have this new thing. They won't say why it's the most dangerous. Here's the reasoning for why it's most dangerous. Because it's traveling on the backs or in the bodies of, guess what? Vaccinated people. Now they're saying vaxxed and naturally immune. All of a sudden natural immunity has credence here, which their studies don't show this. If you listen to Dr. John Campbell, now keep in mind, I'm not a virologist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a marine biologist. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not any kind of a brain surgeon. It sounds fun, but I haven't delved into that yet. I probably need to watch a few more YouTube videos and I can become an expert. But So when I bring this stuff up, it's just my opinions and it's just things I've heard other people say. So this is hearsay. It's all hearsay. Or she say, or their say, they say. And they say that what's in my cup is the most important thing to talk about this morning. So I've got my little cup here. I went ahead and made some sweet tea. I don't, when I'm going to be gone for a while, I don't normally make my own sweet tea unless I can take it all with me. Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. It depends on where I'm going. If it's a road trip where I'm driving, I typically will make sweet tea, a gallon of it, just to take along. However, and it's usually gone the first day. But I have made some because I'm staying home this time. So I was like, well, I got time to drink that next couple of days. So I'll just go and make that. So that's what I did. So I have sweet tea with a little bit, just a hint, just a splash. And it's not splash, by the way. It's V8 Fusion. It's not called Fusion anymore. It's just called Peach Mango. It's not Splash, though. It's V8 juice, which also has, vitamins, all kinds of vegetables and fruits and vegetables in it, supposedly. It's 100% juice. I don't know. where the juice comes from, but it's juice of some kind. So we have, by the way, a little thing I played right before the, you know, on the bumper, the intro bumper there. That's Karine Jean-Pierre. That was one press conference, like 5 minutes into one press conference. That's how many times. This goes on. The same press conference, the July 5th, 2022 press conference. And this guy has about 15 minutes of this stuff. Now, I don't mean to pick on her, even though I am. I don't know how else to put it. Mr. Reagan, he has a YouTube channel, Mr. Reagan. That's not his name. That's the name of his channel. He does this whole thing talking about Jean-Pierre. It's pretty much accurate. He slams it pretty hard, and I'm not going to do that because I couldn't do that job. Well, maybe I could. I probably could, actually. That's one thing I can do. I can speak pretty well on the spot, on my toes. I can, especially if I was practiced at it at all and knowledgeable about what was going on. If I had that big book to read, she can't read the book. She's got this big book in front of her. She can't even do that. It's really sad. I feel sorry for her. I try to think about it in terms of, okay, if this was my daughter, I'd be very proud of her being up there, but I'd also be very concerned because she really needs, she's on a world stage here. She needs better training to do this. She's not ready for this. Of course, now if she was out running around saying everything is racist, which she does, she did, but before she got the job, everything about Fox News was racist. Everything about everything is it's all racist. Everything's racist. Or the country's deeply racist. Right after Obama got elected, you could just tell that the country was deeply racist. Oh, okay. So over half the country voted for Obama. And right afterwards, it's deeply racist. And supposedly they voted for him again in 2012. And because, you know, they're deeply racist. But all of a sudden, Joe Biden, an old white guy, gets 9 million more votes than Obama did. And we're supposed to accept that because we're, you know, we're racist. Maybe we're misogynist. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I got a couple of things to get into today. It's hard telling where this show is going to go. Like I said, we were already taken off on the whole COVID thing. The reason being, I have no notes today. I have nothing written down. And sometimes I'll just write down like four or five words, things, topics that I want to make sure I cover. So I state, because I'm extremely, I don't know if you noticed or not, I'm extremely ADD. I have attention. And really what that means is you have a discipline problem. It's not this disorder. I don't think it is. People say, oh, you're ADD. Well, that's the case. Yeah. So you have a hard time paying attention. When I was a child growing up, if you didn't pay attention, you got spanked. That's how we dealt with that. This will get your attention. Now, I never got spanked, but I was ADD. I was extremely ADD. I got by because I kind of found ways around it. I found ways to pay attention. And I made stuff up, you know, as I went. Kevin, are you paying attention? Yes. What was I talking about? You're talking about it's almost painful to watch. Seriously, it is painful to watch somebody do that kind of speaking. But anyway, the whole thing about the ADD thing, it's really a self-discipline issue. And that you have to develop that. You have to develop the ability to discipline yourself to pay attention and to stay on track. And it's a tough discipline for some people. It's just more difficult for some than others. But we have a discipline, you know, we're going to call it HD. HD, ADD, HD. It's HD, high definition attention deficit disorder. Adult attention, HD, AAD, HD, AGY. That's what it is. That's what I have. I'm going to blame that on that. Now you have to feel sorry for me. You can't just say I lack discipline and can't pay attention. You have to say, oh, the poor guy. Oh, we have to give him a pass. Okay, so on back to this COVID thing. Now they're saying that this BA5 variant, which is Dr. John Campbell's been talking about this for over a month. He was the first one that talked about it, that I heard talk about the variants. He gets very in-depth in this stuff. One of the very first things that he mentioned was in terms of, all he does is look at the data and talk about it. He's been censored. And he's not left or right. He's not, in fact, I think he's very pro-vaccine, and I think he's very much more left in terms of the way this thing goes. He keeps politics out of it altogether. So, but they decided to censor him a couple times. Got whacked. He's very popular. Let's see if I can find his channel here real quick. And all you have to do is put in Dr. John. It'll come up. Very first thing is Dr. John Campbell. I don't see his, most of his stuff during the COVID times, like this one right here, BA5 causes, it says causes more severe disease. Almost a million views alone. I think he's got several million subscribers now. Now he'll put something out like that on a, like most of his titles for his videos are, he'll put that out there. And what he's really saying is this is the statement that we're going to discuss. In other words, BA5 causes more severe disease. Let's look at this and see if it really does or not. This was put out 5 days ago. UK infections continue upwards. Reinfections now common. So, in other words, the vax has run its course. Vax isn't helping anymore. But yet they're still boostering people. I just saw somebody had got their fourth booster shot now. People are approved now for fourth boosters. It's the same shot. It's now gotten to the point where it is not even effective for 90 days. In Chicago, yeah, same thing. Canada, right now they're saying that the health minister up there is saying that you'll be required. You will be required to get a vaccine every 9 months. That's what they're proposing right now. And of course, they're still under emergency authority up there. Trudeau still has emergency authority. He can just say, okay, that's what we're going to do then. There's nothing legislative about it at all. This guy is a complete and utter dictator. So, but they keep pushing the vax. There is some very disturbing news about this thing, by the way. More people are catching up with the increased death rates that are non-COVID related now. 16% above normal death rates. This is from insurance actuaries and also just statistical data over the past 5 years. Since the vaccine has been put out, we have a rise in the past year of 16% higher death rates than normal among the working, what they call working population from 18 to 59, or 18 to 65, I'm sorry. Now, the number of people who are just dying of a heart attack, for example, has just out of the blue. No heart disease, no historical family data, just gone. has increased and is been very, I personally know of a couple people that have, this has happened to. Nobody's talking about it. Everybody's very quiet because nobody wants to bring it up. Now the question is, were they vaxxed? Very strange. So we have this going on. The thing that makes this BA5 the most dangerous, and Dr. Campbell talks about this. In fact, he talked about the non-COVID excess deaths. He even brought that up. He had over 500,000 views on his channel. Talks about that whole issue as well, and it was very very good, very in depth. He went very across all countries. He wasn't just talking about one particular the person who broke this story was Epic Times Roman Balmakov. He on Facts Matter, he brought this up. He was the first one that brought it up. Now I don't know where he got the information. I don't know if he has his own people that look into this stuff or not. I know the Epic Times has a lot of actual journalists, investigative journalists that actually go out and investigate things. They don't just, read Google stories and rebroadcast stuff or make stuff up. And I don't know if Dr. Campbell, I think, went over that stuff. It was really interesting. He went through the whole, excess death thing. It went through the actuaries in a lot of different countries, in UK and every place else. And it was very interesting to see what. Now, he didn't put it together. He wouldn't. You can tell when people don't, they're concerned. They think it's because of COVID. Well, COVID is causing all this. If they had COVID, then this is what happens. Later on, it's non-COVID related, but you still die. Now, then think about this, because the numbers are usually skewed in this regard. And they don't want this kind of thing to get out there. Now, if you die and you have COVID, they will typically call it a COVID death. And there's some kind of financial gain in doing that or something that they get out of doing that. When a facility or a hospital or a health system, there's some kind of benefit in calling and having COVID deaths or COVID patients, because they get extra assistance for that. I don't know if that's just in private healthcare or if it's in publicly owned nonprofit. I don't know what it is. I don't understand how the health system works. My wife works in a healthcare system. She probably knows more about this stuff, obviously, than I do. I'm pretty much removed. I don't know about this stuff. I'll have to ask her. Maybe she knows. Maybe she doesn't. I don't know. It's more the business side. She's not really as much in that department as she is in the educational side of the hospital. But she probably is more aware of it than I am. So the interesting part about some of this is this BA5 thing. The problem that we see now is that the biggest problem is that it, like I said, it is carried and transmitted by people who are vaccinated. Now, they are also, like I said, they're also bringing in, well, if you have natural immunity, it's also, those people can also carry it, transmit it as well. It has what's called immune escape. I think it's called immune escape. Or it means that it now can get past the immune system. Now, what they're not telling you is that it's not as severe. Delta was the most severe one we've had in terms of death. Causing death, the death rates were higher for Delta than it was anything else. It's not higher. It's the worst of the Omicron variants, I think, in terms of infection rates. But the biggest thing that makes it most dangerous is that it's now all these people who are vaccinated, it is able to it's not stopping anything. The vaccine is not stopping anything. It's actually being carried on people who are vaccinated. So it's a weird phenomenon. I don't understand it all, but there you go. That's my understanding of what's going on. Let's talk about, let's change gears here and talk a little bit about Sri Lanka. How many of you heard about Sri Lanka and what's going on there? If you've been watching is CNN or MSNBC, all you're hearing about is the walls are still closing in on Donald Trump. Those walls were really far away from him, apparently, to start with, because they've been closing in for years. Everything I hear about is Donald Trump had another bad day. Well, he just had a rally with more people. I think it was up in Alaska, I think he had a rally. They broke records at the arena. It was so full. Now, granted, they don't have anything else to do up in Alaska other than try to survive, but because, you know, that's all frontier up there. Like as if there's no big cities. He broke a record at the arena. There were people, thousands of people outside the arena. But, you know, he had a bad day. Of course, the only reason they're saying he had a bad day was because they wish it so. They wish he would have a bad day. He has actually been winning some court cases and some things in his favor lately. Now, I don't, this something, speaking of him, interesting thing happened there with the whole January 6th commission stuff going on. So I'm not sure exactly. He released. Sorry, I had to adjust my little coat down here because it's cold down here in my basement. The Steve Bannon, he released him from presidential. What is it? It's not immunity. What is it? It's not lawyer privilege. Whatever it is, he released him from executive privilege or whatever it is. And I guess this is interesting. I just discovered that Liz Cheney's being funded by an elite Democrat. Donors. It says Democratic donors, but they're not Democratic. It's Democrat donors. That's no big surprise. There's some interesting stuff going on there, too. We'll talk about the election stuff. Put a pin in that. So I guess he's allowing. Now, I don't know if he asked Steve if he wanted to testify. And he gave him permission, basically. That's what the story that I heard kind of sounded like. Yeah, he waives executive privilege to allow Steve Bannon to testify. Now, I don't know if this is from H.A. Goodman. A lot of times H.A. Goodman has, the one thing I don't like about his channel recently is that he'll put these headlines out there and how do I explain it? He's trying to, I guess, foretell the future. He's trying to give his opinion or his prediction of what's going to happen in his headline. He'll put something down like, President Trump avoids prosecution or indictment by doing this, whatever it is. You know, he had this idea that President Trump, if he announced his run early for president in 2024, that he could avoid indictment. There's no way in the world that President Biden, he's going to be indicted too, but there's no way that Trump gets away without an indictment. This whole thing is playing out according to their schedule. They've got to keep pushing this thing and keep it going. And their big goal. Now, everybody says it's the October surprise. They're going to indict him in October, right before the election. No. My guess is they will do that before October. They want this thing to run through October. So what they're going to do probably, it may even be August, but I would say September. This is just me forecasting. That's just my opinion, just prognosticating here. I would think that they would have to do this by September. Their goal is to have, they will not be happy until they have video of this guy. Of course, now when they do this, CNN will be right there. They'll be the only news broadcast company aware of what's going on. And they'll have their cameras all set up right there. When they perp walk the president, former president, Donald Trump, in handcuffs. Think of this. Think of this imagery. And think how low we've stepped and stooped as a country here if they do this. And they will. They're going to do this. Merrick Garland, well, I have the letter. That's why you're calling parents terrorists, because you got a letter. This is no different. Bill Barr was no better. Okay, he was maybe he had an ounce, maybe 2 ounces more of integrity than Merrick Garland did. But the guy's a snake and a weasel as well. And got to sip some more tea to calm my nerves. The amazing thing to me is that they're getting away with this. They're trying to get what their goal was to get public opinion by having this production, this one-sided, complete. Slam job done on Trump and it's just a hit piece that would go on for months with the sole purpose of swaying public opinion. That their goal was to get this meeting, this crazy thing out there, sway public opinion so that when the polls came in and we had 59% approval or whatever they had, this had some, they had a goal. I'm sure they had a goal in mind of getting approval from the public about being indicted, so they could take a poll. Do you think President Trump should be indicted? When they got a solid 59% yeses or whatever it was going to be, they knew Merrick Garland could sweep in with indictments, perp walk this guy, and be the heroes. And this whole thing, if you read Rules for Radicals, when you repeat a lie enough times, it becomes the truth. People start to believe it. This is happening, by the way. People are starting to get swayed. It is having an effect. Because I've been in some chat conversations back and forth and comments on things that are going on in Sri Lanka, for example. I texted a response to one of the reports on Sri Lanka, and I said, these people look like insurrectionists here. Why are we not calling them insurrectionists? They literally went in and demanded the resignation of a president, of a duly elected president. They occupied their White House. And you'd be surprised at the comments that I got back from comparing this to what happened on January 6th. I'll get into that a little bit more later, but of course then there was that thing I told you to stick a pin in and I can't remember what that was. But the interesting thing, said this is why I need to write things down, because I have a lack of discipline. So Liz Cheney keeps repeating this narrative, the same mantra, if you will, over and over. Donald Trump knew that the crowd was armed and he sent them down there to and he wanted to meet them there at the Capitol to have this, to overthrow the government, to hang Mike Pence, and to stop the election process from happening, to remain in power. No, that's not what happened, Liz. But you keep repeating it. You keep repeating it, you keep hearing it. He sent an armed mob, a mob that he knew was armed, down to the Capitol building. Now, first of all, there are so many things wrong with this narrative. How many weapons were found in the Capitol building? What kind of weapons were they, Liz? See, just keep repeating that same mantra based on snippets of things that people said around the president, and here's things that they think they heard the president say, or things that they thought the president said about whatever it was. And they keep doing that. And the next thing you know, they're off on some fairy tale land. And there's no specifics, no actual data, no evidence, no cross-examination of any of this stuff. Just this continued mantra of this is what happened. They've come up in their brains, some, and I think they actually believe this stuff. Maybe not. It's, you know, body language says a lot about a person. You can tell, and I can tell by the intonation in her voice, which, well, there is no intonation in her voice. That's the thing. There's no passion there. There's no under. This is a mantra that she wants to. She thinks she's being the hero by coming up with this story. She's fallen into the trap of Trump derangement syndrome, like all the other Democrats, especially Adam Schiff, have done. This is a solemn thing, and he sits up there in front of these councils like as if he's doing God's work. He's beyond repute. You know, here's what gives me hope. And I heard a pastor, a preacher one time, he preached a powerful message, and it was about Judgment Day. And everything he said was spot on. But one of the things that, the one statement that really stuck with me, he was in tears, and he said he can't wait for Judgment Day. Now, it's not going to be pleasant. And I don't know what my lot will be. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't understand it all. I don't know. I know who I've put my faith in. I know who my advocate is. I know what he did to me, and I know who I'm trusting in for that. But, you know, ultimately, it's still God's choice. It's still God's decision. I trust that what he will do, what he will say, however he judges me and however he judges the rest of the world, it will be just and fair and good. I have no doubt, no doubt in my mind that justice will be served. And there are some people that I tremble for what they are going to experience on Judgment Day because of the deception, the blatant lies that have led this country and so many people with the platform that they have and the things that they are saying that are not true. I don't think that they have any idea Now, maybe there will be time for forgiveness for them before they pass into the next world. And I believe that can happen. I can experience that kind of forgiveness. But if they don't, if there is no justice on this, in this lifetime for them, there will be eternal justice for them in the next. In other words, if you don't fess up and pay the price now, you will pay the price forever. And this pastor was not, it was not a joy for him to say, but here is the whole thing is this. That finally, we will see the justice of God, and all things that are good and right and true will be put in place. It will all be set in place. And for that, I am hopeful, and I have, because that's all I want to see. Come what may, do whatever to me, it doesn't matter. I just want to know that justice is now done. I've seen God openly mocked. And in fact, by very proud and arrogant individuals who obviously have a hatred for him. And it will be good to see those voices eternally silenced once and for all. It's finished. It's done. No arguments anymore. Moving on from that. So these events in Sri Lanka, let's talk about this a little bit. Well, while we're still on the January 6th Commission thing, let's talk about that a little bit. I did want to talk about the funding of the GOP and some candidates, GOP candidates. There's some weird. Now these are shenanigans. When they were saying that there were shenanigans going on with the election, 2020 election, they're shenanigans. That was putting it too mildly. That sounds like it's just a little tomfoolery. That's kind of the kind of thing. No, these were criminals, law breaking going on, not shenanigans, federal crimes going on is what these were. Plenty of them on record, on video. I have yet to watch 2,000 Mules. The only reason I haven't watched it is because I think it's like $19. If I'm going to pay that much to watch it, I'm going to have like five or six people here with me watching it because I'm just not going to watch it by myself. It needs to be watched. I just haven't paid that, I'm not going to pay that kind of money for just my, I wouldn't, when I go to a movie theater, pay $10 for myself to get in or whatever. I'll pay that, but not to sit at home and pay $20 for. I'm just not going to do it. There's a line. There's a line for me. Now, if there's five people watching or four people watching, even my wife and I, if we're just sitting down and watching, it's $10 a piece. If we went to a theater and spent the money on gas, getting there and back and forth, and of course, $12 for popcorn and $1,000 for a soda. Now we're saving some bucks. So the point here is that the shenanigans are things like These are shenanigans. Here's the definition. Here's a prime example of a shenanigan. This isn't actually illegal, but it's a shenanigan. There are Democrat donors who are giving money to GOP candidates because they want them to win, because they know that they think that they'll be able to beat them in 2022 in the midterms. Now think about that. Liz Cheney, by the way, is getting funding from DNC donors. Some elites now are donating to her campaign. Now, everybody seems to think that, well, you raised more money, so therefore you're going to win. Now, that doesn't always happen, folks. Thank goodness. The politicians think that's the way it's going to work. Well, I've gotten more donations, so that means I'm going to win. Now, it is true that if you get a lot of small donations, that means you've got a lot of grassroots support. In other words, a lot of individuals are supporting you. If you get a lot of money, but it's mostly from large donations donors, it's a smaller number of people. And because they've divided our country so much, that number of people probably is not the same as the number of votes that might show up, because all you've got is these elites. Of course, plastering the airwaves and the yard signs with, you know, with the money you've spent on all those things to make it happen. For some reason, people will raise funds and they think that means they're going to win. Well, it's not necessarily the case unless you get out there and do the work for the campaign. So Liz Cheney apparently is outspending her opponents. She's getting all this money from the DNC because the DNC donors, because they want her to be the person they run against. Now, they don't want her to win. Or if there is going to be a Republican win, she's the Republican that they want to win, because she's the Republicat, is what we call it. She's not a Republican.
I've always voted this, and I'm a conservative.
She says she's a conservative Republican. This is getting back to that whole thing. She said the other day, she said in a little thing that she spoke on,
I am a conservative Republican.
No, you're not. Don't steal the name conservative. You're once again, and the whole thing about being a Republican, you are an establishment Republican. Just say, I'm an establishment Republican, Liz. Just be honest.
I'm not part of the establishment.
Oh, no. Who was your dad? Let's go over that again. So anyway, so this is kind of, here's the other shenanigans they're pulling. They're having people run for office who are actually Democrats. I kind of question Dr. Oz. I'm uneasy about this guy. Now, the fact that Trump endorsed him doesn't mean anything to me. Endorsements don't mean anything. I don't know how much credibility there is or how much clout people put behind endorsements. I really don't know. I think Trump probably carries a lot of weight in that respect, but I don't vote based on endorsements at all. That has nothing to do with what I do. I will look at a candidate more, maybe possibly, because of their endorsement. But I will not vote based on that alone. If there's somebody I haven't heard of, like Carrie Lake, I had not heard of her much. I guess, was she the one that was a sportscaster and quit the day, like she announced her, like resigned on air, I guess. I think she might be the one who did that. I don't know. But I'll tell you what. I don't know much about her politics. I do know she's a straight shooter. I can deal with people like that. If somebody's going to be honest and have a legitimate conversation and have some common sense policies, I can deal with that. If I disagree with them, we can have a conversation about it. The problem I have is these people who are just ideologically messed up in the head and have no, they're just emotionally tossed around and they have no understanding or no concept of it. Larry Elder had a really good show on yesterday or day before. I heard it yesterday, but I think it might've been the show from day before. Talking about this, when he was running for governor, he was confronted by a journalist that was talking about economics. And they said, you haven't even learned economics 101. They're saying this to Larry Elder, of all people. Apparently, she didn't even have any idea who this guy was. And he wasn't trying to trap her. He said he was just trying to find out what her background was and what economics school of thought she came from. He said, where did you learn economics? Or who's your favorite economist? I think there's a couple of questions he asked her. I think he asked her where she studied economics, and she said where she went to school. And he said, well, who's your favorite economist? She couldn't give an answer. She didn't have one. So he started saying, well, have you ever heard of this person or that person? No. Pretty well-known people. I'm not an economist, and I've heard of these people. So for somebody to come out and make a statement like that and not even know who some of the most popular economists are, some of the economic philosophies are based on. Where did you study economics? Well, at this college. Who was your professor? I don't remember. Well, you're really into economics then. You're one to judge, you know, who knows what about economics. That kind of thing happens because they just think that they know it all. But when you really start to call them out on it, like he did, you find out they don't know anything. It's just they were just speaking off the top of their head. So we have some things happening in the world. Let's get on to this Sri Lanka, the Netherlands, and some other smaller countries as well. There's some other things that are going on as well. As what we're seeing there is basically what they want to have happen all over. Now, keep in mind, this is going to go back. I'm going to dig down the rabbit hole here a little bit. I don't have a whole lot of time. This is probably enough to take a whole show or a couple shows or a whole series, whole season of series is the George Soros for many, 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 many years has been tinkering around in the politics of small countries. These were his little test beds, his little petri dishes. He thought it was really fun to go in and mess with different countries, their leadership, their economics, find out what works and what doesn't work, what people he has to influence, pay off, how to control things economically, what things he needs to buy and sell within a country to control it. He did this in the 80s and the 90s. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. Yes, it was a lot of fun for me to do that.
Now, this guy's still alive. He's had like 5 heart transplants or some ridiculous thing. So now he's doing it on a larger scale. The elites, who are all left-wing socialist dictators. A really interesting thing. Recently there was there's a channel on YouTube called Prophecy Watchers. They have guests on quite a bit and they interview people. And occasionally they've got they always have some pretty good speakers on, but once in a while there's somebody that really rings a message that really is interesting and kind of right down my wheelhouse. But the interesting thing about this one was he was talking about the kings, the 10 kings. And this is in scripture, the 10 kings that are kind of in the end times theater. And the interesting thing there was we tend to think of them as political leaders. When we think of kings, we think of like, okay, the presidents or the leaders of a country. Well, that's not necessarily the case. Leaders can be, and probably more likely, would be those who have financial power. And this is what's interesting about this is the way they played into how they are controlling certain segments and sectors of the economy of different parts of the world. And it made more sense to think that, okay, these are the people who are really in charge. Now, think about this. During the pandemic, during the election, during everything that went on the last couple of years, who has really been in charge of your ability to speak freely and your ability to exercise your rights? Zuckerberg. Twitter guy. Just the big tech people are having more influence and power and control over your life than the politicians are, or as much. In fact, they have more control over the politicians, so that henceforth they have control over that as well. And there are those who haven't been named that are having an influence that we don't even think about. But they're definitely there. Now, having said all of that, we have these shenanigans going on in world politics now, where people are paying. And what we see in Sri Lanka basically is, they say it's coming to our shores. This is what we see in Sri Lanka right now, and in the Netherlands especially, is, and it all revolves around this Green New Deal, this Paris Climate Accord thing, all the climate rules and regulations and laws. They are not allowing farmers to use nitrogen anymore. And they're going to force them to shut down. Now, there's some laws now passed in California. I think they're going to shut down like 50,000 truckers. I can't remember what it was. Let's see. Let me go to Reliable News now. There was a headline I saw that something about a new law passed in, I don't see it on here. There it is. A new law passed in California is going to basically cause thousands of truckers to shut down. I can't remember what the number was. That's all I'm really looking for. I know that it's the only part of the headline. I can't remember the number of truckers. It was in the tens of thousands. Yeah, I don't see it here. I'm probably just missing it. But, I can't find it, the number, but it's a ridiculous amount of people, amount of truckers that are going to be affected by this law. And it all has to do with green energy, green technology, all this stuff, you know, the pollution stuff. If they weren't already having problems already to begin with, and now we're going to, you know, the cost of fuel itself. Now we're going to eliminate those jobs altogether. The whole food shortage thing amazes me. There are food plants and stuff. Now they're claiming that, well, because food plants are operating at maximum capacity right now and they're trying to put out as much food as they possibly can, that's why they're catching on fire. That's why accidents are happening and they're catching on fire, blowing up. Catching on fire because they're trying to produce too much food. Okay, there aren't any more people now than there were. We were still eating through the whole pandemic. Since when did we start this massive production of food? Because people are eating more now than they were before the pandemic. I don't understand how that all works. It makes no sense. The reasons we're being given, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, because, you know, now all of a sudden production's way up and now they're, wait, why? First, let's talk about why is production way up? What happened there? Well, baby food, baby formula, was shut down by the government coming in and shutting down a company that makes over 30%, I think it's closer to 40%, of all the baby formula in the country. They shut them down. Now, either this stuff is all pre-planned and thought about, or these people are just acting under a spirit, the spiritual influence of something that is much more sinister. I believe it's a little bit of both. Or a lot of one and some of the other. I believe it's a lot of a spiritual influence, but it's actually their motivation. They don't realize their motivation is actually more spiritually influenced, but they're sitting around pre-planning this stuff, how they're going to do it. That's my opinion. Because this stuff doesn't just happen one after the other without somebody being a part of what's going on here. Just saying. So Sri Lanka, here's what happened in Sri Lanka. So I'll tell you about some of the conversations I have with some of these people in the chat. So the people go in and they surround the Capitol building, whatever kind of building they have, I don't know what they call it there. And they end up forcing their way into the halls, basically, and they occupy the place. And they basically say, we're not leaving until this president resigns. That sounds like a great idea. Why didn't we think of that? So then they go and do that. Well, sure enough, the president resigns. You know, if I was in his position, now he screwed up. He did a lot of things wrong. Don't misunderstand here. He really, because of his policies, screwed some things up. If they're just going to let him walk away from doing what he did, that's actually pretty pathetic. But that's what he's going to get away with. He's going to walk away. Now the new guy coming in, who's going to act the acting president, basically the next person in line to take over his responsibilities, has basically said, you know, there's nothing I can do to change. The situation's not going to change. Because the damage has already been done, basically is what he's saying. He can't undo. He's not going to be able to turn around things right, you know, overnight. Because of the situation they've got themselves in. They have a three-pronged deal. They have food shortage. They have economic debt that they can't get out of, and something else. I can't remember. There's basically three things there they got themselves in a pinch with. The trade deficit there has been a real problem because they stopped growing their own food because they were, so they started, this is one of the policies he put into place because of whatever it was. Netherlands is going to be the same way. They're coming to a point where they're going to be depending on food from other countries. Not going to be growing enough food for themselves. They were like one of the, like the number four exporter of food in Europe. They're not going to be that anymore. So the craziness goes on with this stuff. Now, this is all, of course, now this gets back to the whole thing I was talking about with these little social engineers, these people, these elites, the kings that like to play these games. The George Soroses and Bill Gateses of the world are playing with societies. It's an open society. So they have this little game they're playing, and this is the kind of stuff they're doing. I wouldn't be surprised if George Soros is behind some of the stuff, and he's probably funded some of the stuff that's going on in Sri Lanka. Now, what's happening there, so the comment I made was, this looks like an insurrection. This looks like just what happened on, you know, people are out walking around in the Capitol building demanding change in a duly elected president. Well, the comments I got back were ridiculous. One of them was, well, it's different now because this is they went in to change who the president is. Oh. So just going in and protesting the election and saying they weren't trying to overthrow the election. Oh. No, they are. They're trying to overthrow the election, but after the fact. So if these same people would have waited until Joe was in office and then went in there, into the Capitol building, and demanded that he be overthrown, they'd be called insurrectionists. That's what an insurrection is. Well, it's different, too, because they weren't armed. They didn't have weapons. They didn't have weapons. Oh, the heck, they didn't. First of all, I don't think they're allowed to have weapons in that country. But there were knives and pitchforks and shovels and sticks and spears. They were there. There was that group that was there. They were throwing rocks. They were doing all those things. And guess what? On Saturday, they went in to the president's personal living chambers and set it on fire. But at least they didn't have weapons. They were mostly peaceful. And they're fiery, but mostly peaceful. What building, what room was it they actually set on fire then on January 6th there? How was that? How did that work out? I kind of missed which room they set on fire. The damage that was done there. How much was the damage? In the tens of thousands? Probably not even that. More importantly, who allowed it to happen? You're telling me a small group of people could overtake our government?
You guys held the line. You did it. Yeah, on that day, we about lost our country. You four guys right there, the four that agree with everything on this panel says.
It's the only four guys they can find to testify. Capitol Police. Only four guys. Apparently, they're only four guys that were working that day. You'd think so. This is what we're facing, folks. The differences are minute in what is happening there and what has happened on January 6th. In fact, they weren't going to go in there and kill anybody. Okay, that was not going to happen. But somebody died. Somebody was shot. An unarmed person who was trying to get through a window. It was a headshot. Happened to hit her in the neck. Guy steps up, shoots one shot. Obviously, wasn't terribly threatened. No other officers had their arms drawn. One guy steps up with a gun, boom. And then walks away, scot-free. Oh, but his life was threatened, right? Unlike that clerk or that little the guy in New York, when a thug comes behind the counter, starts beating him, grabs him by the back of the neck and starts pushing him out from behind the counter. That's more than assault. This is you have to understand. I've heard some self-defense experts say, well, he used excessive force. Okay, well, excessive force is more like manslaughter. It's not murder. If you're going to go down that road, if it really was excessive force, it's not murder. Manslaughter and murder are two different things. The man was trying to defend himself. He was pinned into this place. He couldn't get out. Who knows what this guy was saying? We don't know what he was saying to him. The guy responds as he's being grabbed and being pushed out of from behind the counter. He swings around and starts stabbing the guy. And it's over. He's the one who calls the police. Do you think that if this individual, this perp, would have stabbed him or hurt him or beat the daylights out of him, do you think he would have turned around and called the police? He'd have been gone. He'd have been on the lam. He'd have been running around. And probably not been charged with anything. But the guy who's there doing his daily job, trying to survive, literally, defends himself and his position and his livelihood. And this knucklehead AG or whoever it was that was involved, the prosecutor, decides, going to put this guy on Rikers Island. And give him a $250,000 bail. Charge him with murder. It went beyond misdemeanor assault. Pushing him down against the wall, pushing him down into the onto the floor, basically. That was a misdemeanor assault, believe it or not, even though the guy was older. He wasn't old enough. He was like 61 years old. I guess he'd be 65 to be considered an elder. It'd be a crime against a protected individual, protected class. Which is bogus, too. I know 65-year-old people who can bench press 200 pounds. I know 60-year-olds who can't do one push-up. The age thing is just, that's discrimination. So we have this, the where it changed for me, when I saw this video, where it changed for me was beyond the assault. If you just walk up and slap somebody, Mr. Will Smith, that's just assault. If Will Smith would have grabbed Chris Rock and started dragging him outside, now you have a much, much further, deeper crime going on. This is kidnapping or confinement, whatever you want to call it. It goes beyond, you don't know where the person's taking you and for what purpose. You are now moving somebody up against their free will. Now you have committed a serious crime. This is more than a misdemeanor. When you grab a hold of someone and start forcing them to move, coupled with the assault, now it becomes a felony. And now your life is really in danger because there's somebody else on the other side of that. And she happened to have a knife. Why did she have a knife? It's okay for her to have a knife. Why does everybody have knives, by the way? Oh, because guns aren't allowed. Now, here's my theory. If you've got a gun and you pull it on somebody and you say, get back away from me, all you have to do is back away from that person. They're not going to shoot you, probably, right? They haven't shot you yet. They're asking you to back down. They're not asking for your wallet. They're not asking for, they want you to get away from them. Okay, I'll get away from you. If somebody pulls a gun on you and you go after them, because you were threatening them to begin, the reason they pulled the gun on you is because you were threatening them to begin with. Say I go up to, I start pushing somebody around, and I start threatening him, saying I'm going to kill him. I'm going to beat him up. What am I going to do? He pulls a gun on me. And I continue to go out. You're not going to use that gun. I try to take the gun away from him. What do you think I'm going to use the gun for? Guess what's going to happen now? You're going to get shot. Do you deserve it? Absolutely. You gave up your right to not be shot. By continuing, you're being faced with deadly force to stop you, and you're not stopping? You obviously have bigger intentions. You deserve the bullet. You should back away at that point. Why are you not backing away? Standing down. You were the aggressor. The person's just trying to protect themselves, and all of a sudden they become the criminal. It's outrageous. But I digress. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a judge. I'm not a prosecutor. I'm just a guy with a microphone trying to make my way through the world, make my way through life, drinking my tea, talking on this podcast, which went a little bit long today. Sorry, I'm kind of a long talker today. You can speed it up. If you put it in 1.25 times the speed, you can get through this in less than an hour. So now that I tell you that afterwards, sorry. Anyway, thanks for listening today. Thanks for stopping by and checking out the podcast. If this is the first time you've listened, I'm a commercial-free host talking to you about all the news that is the news and what my opinion of it is and why I have that opinion, because I understand why I have my opinions. That's why I have an opinion. That's why. Not just the opinion, but the why behind the opinion. Why am I still talking about this? I don't know. I don't have an opinion. God bless everybody. Have a great day. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Take care.